I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts. I've seen the sky so blue, with birds all singing, I got nothing to do.
It's a sunny day. My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, 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 hey. It's just a sunny day.
KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, along with Ton Bettis, taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500. We got up a little bit earlier today, to do a quick video on poinsettia care, how you choose the perfect poinsettia, how to care for it, make it last as long as you can. And we do have that on the Greenhouse page with us for you today, and you can check that out during the day and see what it's like. And, Ton, we've had fun. We've had a lot of questions this morning about houseplants and Christmas cactus and poinsettias.
We have, and it's that time of year that the weather's finally gotten cold enough, the yards are cleaned up, and now it's just maintaining with those houseplants until spring gets back. But houseplant care in the winter is somewhat different than what you would do in the summer. And if you keep doing the summer deal, you could actually drown your plants.
Right. You need to make sure that they're not still moist when you're starting to water them. Again, the number to call, 801-575-8255 or 57500 to text us. We have with us in studio this morning Jim Weber from Foothill Oriental Rugs, where the semi-annual sale is underway. And Jim, we've brought you in today to talk about the wonderful things that you have on sale, but also to tell us about your unique rugs and how you actually take such a big role in producing these rugs. So tell us about your trips.
Well, I've been traveling to the rug producing countries of the world for over 30 years, Maria. So I've developed really great relationships and great contacts, and I go out to the villages in India where the rugs are made, and in Pakistan, and we actually have our own factory in Kathmandu, Nepal, where we produce Tibetan carpets woven by Tibetan refugees.
Right, and you actually take part in the design process, which I don't think people understand.
No, yeah, we do. We actually create our own line of designs for our Tibetan rugs, and we wholesale them to rug dealers throughout North America.
Yeah, and Ton, we know how important nature is to our greenhouse listeners. And the other interesting thing about Jim's rugs are that they're made of natural fibers, natural dyes. Tell us how that works.
Well, a lot of the rugs are made with vegetable dyed extracts. That's how the wool is dyed. So that's how rugs were produced centuries ago before synthetic dyes were created. And it's kind of going. The production these days is going back to the old ways because the final result is a beautiful handmade product where you can tell it's handmade.
Right. Twice a year you have a great sale going and it's underway right now. Tell us what people will find.
Well, first of all, our regular retail prices are 25% below the industry average. So when we have a sale, it's the real deal. It's a real discount. Typically in our industry, people just price things however they want and then make you think you're going to get a good deal. But we have a fixed price on every rug, and like I say, it's below the industry average. And we mark our old merchandise down because I just don't want it sitting around. We've got a lot of rugs that are 70% off retail.
Yeah. Another thing people may not know about you and your business, you actually have a nonprofit as well. Tell us about that.
We did. Over the years after we opened our factory in Kathmandu, I don't know if you've heard about Nepal, but Nepal – and anyone who's traveled there knows that it has unique spiritual energy. It's a combination of the Hindus from India and the Buddhists from Tibet And it's just a an amazing place. That's where the term namaste came from.
Mm-hmm.
Came from Nepal. And it just has amazing spiritual energy. And over the years, traveling there, producing our rugs, it became my spiritual home. And it's a tiny country, but with 30 million people. And very impoverished. So I wanted to give something back to that country. And so I created a little nonprofit, and it grew into having a significant impact on the medical infrastructure of an entire country. And we ended up building a 16,000 square foot hospital in Kathmandu, Nepal. It's called the Nepal Cleft and Burn Center. And it's the only teaching hospital in a country of 30 million people that teaches Nepali surgeons to do these cleft lip and palate surgeries,
mm-hmm,
and burn reconstruction, so that they don't have to depend on teams from Operation Smile or Doctors Without Borders coming in a couple times a year for their camps they do.
Wow.
So it's a permanent part of their medical infrastructure, and it's actually having an impact on the entire country's medical infrastructure.
Right. And this giving season, how could people help?
Well, in terms of the Nepal Cleft and Burn Center, we need money. We built a 16,000 square foot hospital in Kathmandu for $23 a square foot. You can't build a garage here for even close to that. We're just overflowing. We can't keep up with demand. And the beauty of our project is we cater to poor people. It's all about helping the poor and underserved of Nepal. So we're overwhelmed with cases. Our burn ward is always full. So we actually broke ground on our second hospital in southeastern Nepal in 2018, and we're gonna get that building coming up out of the ground this year.
Okay, and when people come in for the semi-annual sale, they can find out more about that as well.
Absolutely,
right?
I've got a brochure in the store. I'm happy to give you. I'm happy to talk as long as you want to talk about it, because it's kind of my baby. But we've also got a great website, NepalCleftAndBurnCenter.org.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Jim Weber is in studio with us this morning from Foothill Oriental Rugs, where the semi-annual sale is underway right now, and we'll talk more with him throughout the morning. Let's take a caller now from Draper. We've got Pat and Draper. Good morning, Pat. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning. I wonder if you could help me before I sell my house. I got to get rid of a tree. I don't want to sell my house, but there's this tree that my neighbors have, and it's closer to my house than his, right on the fence. And what kind of a tree? It has these big brown things that look like a banana. Some of them are 10 inches long, and they're brown with the big seeds in. What kind of a tree is that?
What do the leaves look like? Are they great
little,
big?
Little tiny leaves that like are on a little stand, the little tiny bitty leaves.
It may be a honey locust, and if it came up from seed, then it would be a seeded tree, and those look like a bean pod. They're in the bean family if it is honey locust.
Honey locust, well, because these pods are 10 inches. They're black,
yeah.
Dark brown. Well, anyhow, this year, thousands and thousands, you can't believe, I've had 350-pound bags I've had to rake up, and they came down just before that big snowfall, so I can't even use my snowblower on my sidewalk, because if they get caught in there, it's terrible. Is there anything you can put on that tree that I could tell them? Because the wind blows from the south, they all come in my yard.
Well, if the tree's on the neighbor's property, from my understanding, the neighbors are legally responsible to clean those up out of your yard.
They are.
And you shouldn't have to do it if the tree's on their property.
Well, they're young, and I'm 82 years old.
Yeah.
And I'm out there trying to clean this mess up. And I have just felt like I want to sell my house because of this tree. So is there anything they can put on it? I mean, they're just, when you look up at the tree in the summer, there's thousands of them just hanging there.
Yeah, so as far as putting a product on there, I would have to look at the label, but there is a product called Florel Growth Regulator that can help a bit, but the tree seems to overcome it, and you have to get it on the exact right time. And so it may help a little, but are you going to get rid of all those pods? No, but it's cyclical, and they'll be heavy one year and then lighter for another year or two.
This must have been the heavy year. How do you spell that product?
Florel.
Florel. And you have to put that on maybe in the spring?
When you see the flowers on the tree. And so the flowers will it depends. on if it's a black locust or a honey locust, but depending on the species, there will be a catkin, but that may have an actual flower. But you would put the product on there when it's in flower to try to knock them off before they're pollinated.
Uh-huh.
But if the honey locust or whatever tree it is not on the label, I can't legally say use it.
Okay. Yeah, well, I would hate to have them kill their tree, but so...
Or not. I...
You know, it's kind of their responsibility, and I think that they don't do it, so I think...
Well, Pat, it sounds like you need to have a conversation.
Oh, it's just terrible. If you could
invite them over for Christmas cookies and have a little talk.
Yeah. And the tree is so close to my front yard that it would just all comes right over. The wind comes from the south, and I get them all.
Oh, Pat.
Well, okay, I guess I just have to... Either have a conversation or...
All right. Good luck to you, Pat. Hopefully we've helped you out just a little bit there. The number to call, 801-575-8255, or you can text us at 57500. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more on the KSL Greenhouse Show.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you this morning, taking your calls at 801-575-8255. Or you can text us at 57500. I want to give the 801 for that, too. But you can just text us at 57500. We still have a few people talking about indoor plants, Ton. This person has a tropical hibiscus that does great during the summer outside. But once they bring it in, it's about those little bugs that you were talking about. They cover the blooms, similar to the way aphids do roses, and they're much, much smaller. They've used soap insecticides with no results. Would a systemic be a good choice?
Maybe if they really want to go to that extent. Some garden centers will carry houseplant insecticides that have a systemic, that are systemic, that they could try. Now, if you go pay $20 for a bottle of that and it doesn't work, and you paid $30 for the hibiscus, it's one of those things that just economically, for trying to enjoy those flowers indoors over the winter, I don't try to do it because they are so hard to take care of, and you would spend so money that the next spring it's just actually less expensive to buy a new plant.
Right. Let's go back to something you said earlier this morning about, boy, if you're going to bring those in, make sure they're not near any of your other house plants.
Oh, it will. If you get aphids or whiteflies or scale spider mites from, you know, your outdoor patio plants that you brought in to try to be the new house plants, and those spread to your other plants, you may end up spending a lot of money on soap insecticides, like they mentioned, oils or whatever it is, and it may or may not be effective. And so you may end up having to throw away a lot of your house plants that you've spent so much time maintaining. And so you quarantine that hibiscus or whatever it is that came in from outdoors for at least 60 days to make sure that no problems appear.
Next texter is saying that they're building a home in South Jordan. The ground is mostly clay. What can they do to prepare the soil for grass, trees, and their vegetable gardens?
Work with the soil they have unless they need to raise the grade. And compost is going to be critical. Instead of hauling in topsoil, spend your money on compost, and if you can afford it, 2 to 3 inches deep, worked into the soil 6 inches deep. If you even do an inch, that's much better than doing nothing. Now, where you plant the trees, you can use a little compost, but it's going to be more critical and easier to find tree species that will tolerate the clay soil. So zelkovas, hackberries, some of the oaks, would do quite well. It's just that if you have a little bit more clay soil, you're going to have to watch the watering a little more carefully so that you don't create a swamp around the roots and then the tree dies from root rot.
Okay, so when they're talking about their lawn or where they're going to plant grass, they don't have to put compost there. Your suggestion would be...
No, actually, they do.
They do.
If they can afford it.
Okay.
If they can't afford it, the soil will probably need to be loosened through some careful tilling. What happens, let's say they built a new home and they had construction vehicles all over the place, you know, delivering whatever it was, cement trucks and lumber trucks and tractors and whatever else. Well, the contractor comes in and grades your soil and loosens it up a bit, and they'll oftentimes use a bobcat, which is a little front-end loader type tractor. And the bobcat weighs a lot, and so what they'll do is invert the bucket because it has tines on it, short tines, and that's what they use to level your soil. And this machine that weighs like 2,000 or 3,000 pounds is dragging backwards, and so you're compacting the soil and putting a light layer of loosened soil over the top. And so after you have new construction, it is often necessary to get a rototiller and till the soil. I only recommend doing it once, so you need to get your compost down and have your timing a little bit. But you oftentimes, on a clay soil, want to loosen it before you put the turf in, because you may not see the problems up front, but 4, 5, 6 years down the road, all of a sudden your lawn starts to struggle, and it's due to a lack of preparation before it was planted.
Okay, so they're going to have to wait till what, March to do this?
Probably April. If it's clay, it's going to be too wet, and they'll do a lot of damage trying to work it. And so you know when you can till is if you can shove a shovel into the soil, get it in there fairly easily, and you can see that there's some soil moisture, but it doesn't stick to the shovel.
Okay, all right. We have Jim Weber from Foothill Oriental Rugs in studio with us this morning. The semi-annual sale is underway right now. And Jim, I want you to talk a little bit about your store. I've come into your store. You have so many fascinating rugs, all different styles. And really, you're focusing more on contemporary rugs now.
Well, that's the way the market's going. The old rugs that your grandmother loved, people don't want to use them in their interiors today. That's part of my job, is to keep track of where the market's going and buy accordingly.
Mm-hmm. But just so many different beautiful colors that people can come in and see. And what I really love, too, is just the personal attention people get when they come into your store, and how you want to make sure that they're happy with the product.
Yeah, Oriental rugs, historically, they're kind of an intimidating product for people to deal with. And so we just try and be straightforward with it and explain the product to people so that you fully understand what you're doing. And basically what you're doing when you look at an Oriental rug is you're buying a piece of art for your floor. It's not a fickle piece of art. It's a piece of textile art that you can use hard, and it will generally be passed on to the next generation.
Right. Your products are such high quality that they last into next generation.
Typically for generations, yeah. And since it's a very labor-intensive product to produce the rug, to tie all the knots around the warp threads that run around the loom, there's no point in not using the best material possible. So they're almost always made out of wool, which wears like iron and cleans up better than any fiber ever created.
Right. I don't think people realize what a gem your store is. I mean, this store, you can't find a more interesting, higher quality store anywhere in the country, if in the world, right?
Well,
I'm not exaggerating when I say that.
No, it's true. You could go to San Francisco or New York or Los Angeles. You won't find a bigger selection of handmade textiles anywhere, really. My store has just grown over the years. I've been doing it for 35 years, and yeah, we have a huge selection. We actually wholesale to dealers around the country.
Right. Well, as I've listened to commercials and just you in the studio through over the years, you know every rug personally because you've gone and hand-selected them. You know the people that made them. And you not only the quality, but you know the backstory, and you know that people are really getting a good rug.
Yeah, I know the product because you hear that old cliche, which is usually just that, an advertising cliche. We cut out the middleman. In my industry, I can actually do it. And so I travel overseas, and every rug in my store is something that I hand selected and or had made for me, specifically for me, in the country of origin. So, yeah, I know the product really well. And basically, when I go on my buying trips, I get to cherry pick the nicest merchandise, and it shows. It shows to a discerning eye when you come in my store. I really have a nice inventory.
Yeah, it also shows price-wise, though, since you do cut out the middleman, your prices are fantastic.
My prices are. They're 25% below the industry average. And you'd really be surprised how inexpensive they are. I wouldn't call them inexpensive. It's a handmade product. But you'd be surprised how affordable they are.
Right. Describe what people will find when they come into the store as far as the sale goes.
Well, almost every rug on our floor is on sale, and old merchandise that has been around for a while, and there's nothing wrong with it other than the fact that it's been around for a while, is marked down substantially, 50% off, or a lot of rugs, or 70% off retail.
I should tell people you have rugs of every size.
We have rugs.
Your gallery is huge. You have rugs, you have bathroom rugs.
From 2x3 up to like 14x22, we have a huge selection. You can buy a 9x12 rug, hand-knotted wool rug, right now during my sale for under $1,000. That's a 9x12 room-size rug.
All right. And the semi-annual sale is not on forever.
It runs through the end of this month. We do this every year.
Okay. Foothill Oriental Rug Gallery. You want to check it out. It's right on Foothill Drive. And Jim Weber is going to be with us this morning. We're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. The number to call if you have a question for the Greenhouse Show, 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500.